Hello, strangers. Welcome to the first part of Season 2, where we'll be diving back into the world of Monte Cook's Numenera tabletop system. Justin Posey and Chris McDaniel are back and reprising their roles as Pierce Ringer and Harold Green. This season packs plenty of death, odd decision-making, and of course, everyone's favorite murderous trenchcoat-wearing toy bear. Stick around for the after show, and if you'd like to know more about this module or general news or notes, that's why you stick around. You know, just cue the new theme song. Ready, set, go.
Roll once, then twice to escape the starlight. But nah, let's fight, let's sail the ship tonight. Ray guns, laser swords, now I'll use words with syllables that poison the earth. Drink it up, smoke it up, boss battles be basic. I'm riding dirty at my enemies' faces. You can't contain this stagger when I'm rolling with leap and dagger.
In a world 1 billion years in the future, 8 civilizations have risen to unimaginable heights only to disappear for one reason or another. Was it war? Did they ascend to another plane of existence? Were they swept aside by nature, or did they take to the stars and abandon Earth altogether? We don't know. But what we do know is that now begins the ninth world, and humanity has clawed its way back to relevance. The other 8 civilizations left forgotten, weird, deadly, or alien pieces of technology we call Numenera. And it is here we begin another adventure with Pierce Ringer and Harold Green.
6 months since the events of the Nightmare Switch. And in these 6 months, Harold Green and Pierce Ringer have grown to have more of a working friendship. I don't know how quiet you guys want to describe it.
I tolerate him.
Pierce tolerates Harold.
I'm a business owner now.
And Harold's a nice, outstanding business owner. Starting to get some of his sanity back a little bit.
I would say quasi-business
owner. I don't know about that. The abundance of coffee now has probably made him a little bit more jittery.
So Harold's coffee bar...
Oh, it's Harold Green's Beanery.
Harold Green's Beanery is inside the Ringer. My shop.
6 months later...
So he's
later,
like leasing... the space. So he's generating extra revenue, which he gets commissioned off of what, off the top, you know, whatever.
He
so
he's
making like, we'll just say that I end up giving him like 5 shin per day on a good day. So he's making some loot.
Yeah.
He's making some loot.
But what you have written down in your character sheets, and I'm not going to tell the audience at home how much you guys have at this point, but if you guys want to say it out loud, you can. It's not my business to tell.
I have 80 then.
80 is a fine amount of shen.
I would say he paid me a deposit.
Okay.
Which into the upkeep.
You say that.
You paid me a deposit. but we'll say on average you make 40 shen a month. So, and then you spend money. So yeah. So let's say he's got like 40 shen.
Total.
Are you dictating how much money I have?
Because he has
employee. All right, 80 shin.
We're going to say 80 shin.
80 shin.
There was a... You also had an... you had some bit of a inheritance that you took from Redstone.
Yep.
And you cashed in on that. Redstone has now said, see you. Now, if you want to say it 6 months later, occasionally you guys can go to Redstone if you want. You see... the gift will come by, say hello. He comes by on trade routes. Redstone is starting to...
brings us those beans.
Yeah, brings you guys some coffee beans.
It keeps him shaking.
Those magic beans I also...
It hasn't taken off anywhere else, but so far...
There'll be expansion.
Baytown has really taken to coffee. This strange, wonderful bean mixed with hot water.
Sometimes, one of the times that gift comes out, I'm going to kind of show them the process of making a proper cup of coffee. And
we open up another one. The computer can run, I mean, the...
We can automated coffee machine.
That runs. Can make a franchise it out
well,
to...
Well, so I opened a...
To Redstone?
I opened that shop in Redstone the last time we left.
Right.
So I own a shop in Redstone and have... So in both shops, I kind of have this automaton that kind of upkeeps it.
And how much money do you have total? I hate to say it out loud with everyone.
Well, I spent 40
to open the shop.
Good. I spent 40 shin.
I was making sure that we.
I would have 260 shin, but now I have 220. because I had 160, but I sold that skiff.
And let's
say
that
when I sold that skiff, I made a good profit. You know, the guy came in, he really wanted it.
He really wanted it.
Some silver guy said he was going to go surfing in the desert. I don't know.
It got weird.
So he was a silver surfer?
A silver skiffer.
So I'm also going to do this. Every company needs a nice mascot.
Okay.
Sometime during that process, we'll have a photo shoot with Diego as the mascot.
So Diego is his likeness.
I'm getting some more of your coffee, Harold.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
So the setting is clear. You guys are in the apartment upstairs. And at this point, you guys had just received a signal from... Sounds like a young woman named Ivana. Ivana was pleading for specifically Harold Green and Pierce Ringer.
Okay.
Come out and help her. To maybe find her in Jute.
Where's that? Oh, Jute.
Jute. So you guys can start talking amongst yourselves what you'd be discussing for this after receiving this signal.
Harold, do you know who that was?
No.
I'm familiar with Jute. It's kind of... It's a ways away, but... I think we should look into this.
Well, I mean, business is going pretty good. I need to actually look into a little bit more of the Sacred Sun thing, and I think Jude had some sort of relevance to that. So, let's go. I mean, it's fine by me.
The store can run itself. Let's pack up and look into this. I smell adventure.
Yep, for adventure, Diego.
Beep. Bop, boop, bop. Bop, beep. He also does like a little spin, a little bit of a twirl.
He's all excited.
He's happy.
Your gazer kind of does like a little floaty nod thing, which is weird because it shouldn't have a whole lot of personality to it, but it's starting to grow a personality.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, let's pack up some gear and see if we can procure some transport over to Jute.
Well, how far is Jute away?
Jute is about a week's, if you're just walking, it's about a week to 2 weeks north. Through jungles, and there's a road that takes you mostly through Jute, but Jute's kind of a little bit off the main road.
I still want to try something, but I'm not going to.
Well, it would be for DM discretion, but I would say maybe...
It could be there in like couple hours. If you really wanted to.
Oh, I know what you're going to
do. Right?
You know I hate it when we do that, Harold.
I'm just saying, if we're on a time crunch here, we could be... If it's that far away, we could be there in a couple hours.
Oh, you'll have
but
to
stop. But you wouldn't be able to bring a whole lot of equipment. Just letting you know if you're using that method.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. I shouldn't have done that, so you could have just gotten there. With.
Well, no. I have my bag of tools... I've got my weapons. My gazer keeps up. We've got Diego. What more do we need? You want to bring some of your beans?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Put it in my bag.
Oh.
And I finagled like a makeshift, like portable little coffee maker that makes it brews a cup at a time.
Ready for my stomach to do backflips.
Your gazer shifts. It looks at you, and it does like its own beep-ops, but you can talk to it. You know that in its machine language, it's saying, "You have there's an incoming signal I found for you." And it pops out. It's like Star Wars, you know, like holographic images. Sometimes these signals come out like that. Sometimes they're just staticky, and it's just all audio. And this has that.
Help,
and it's
Harold, your only hope.
And this is a man in a sacred sun robe pops out. And he's... This is like a holographic image of him. He has a big, giant, like a fiery red beard. And above his head are floating orbs. And you know this man to be Abraham Brass. And you see him, and he's talking, but it's muted. Like you can't hear him talk, and then it's cutting in and out. But what you do, all you hear is... I'd like to know who's using that. Who is trying to reach out? Who among you are trying to reach out? You will all be punished if no one speaks up. And then it...
Brass.
And then it cuts out a little bit and comes back in. I swear, if you bring those two here, the fury of the sun will be on us all. Heretics. They are the heretics. And he walks off. And then it all dissipates.
Harold, I really, really dislike this guy. And if Jude has anything to do with it, I'd love to exact some kind of revenge.
Who is this guy?
Abraham Brass. He's been a thorn in my side on every mission or adventure we've ever gone on.
I didn't see him. What?
No. He somehow manages to either be there before or send people in. He takes artifacts and ciphers before I can get to them, or breaks them down and destroys them, and just generally is a pain in my ass. Plus, he's been giving me really, really poor reviews, and I absolutely hate that.
That's Numenera the, Yelp.
Yeah, Numenera Yelp. Just really, I mean, he says that half of these adventures that we've been on, Harold, are just fake.
Okay, so he was talking about us just then.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anybody else he would be talking about.
Gotcha, then we should definitely go to Jude.
Oh, well, let's do it. Oh, God.
So, I grab...
If you're going to do long-distance travel, we're going to go long, and then go long again, and keep going in that direction with your ride to lightning, which I think is what
I just
do.
Have to preface that we walk outside first.
Okay.
He doesn't just zap me 50 billion times down the stairs.
First and foremost, I want you to describe this instead of just saying boof.
Okay.
So describe it in a fun way.
So we step out and we close the shop. And
no, the shop runs itself.
Sorry, we close the door of the shop. I look at him. He looks, Pierce is looking very reluctant. And Harold's got this kind of shit-eating grin on his face. He puts one arm around Pierce, the base of his neck, so his head doesn't snap back, and puts an arm, hand on his arm, and then basically they both vanish in a bolt of lightning, and they get to a bolt of they hop from location to location on a bolt of lightning from as far as Harold can see, and Pierce is along for the ride, and they're doing this all the way to Jute.
And they have to stop occasionally because...
Pierce has to throw up.
I have to throw up.
This is... I don't care what the rules say. They're going to be a little taxing on you. Now, I'm not going to make you... No, maybe I will. We're going to go and do a first roll of the day. This is just going to be an intelligence roll to keep your shit together as you are hopping...
Okay.
Long distance, because you haven't done this long distance. Like
maybe me do a might check for how well I can keep my stomach together.
I love it. In fact, why don't we do this? This is a DM intrusion, so you both are going to get an XP for this, no matter what.
I'll take it.
I don't think he gave us a choice on that matter.
Well, at this point, now that I know it's a DM intrusion, in my mind, if you guys want to say no to it, you can.
No, I'll take it. I like XP.
But what we're going to do is if. Either of you don't make this roll. Now you can keep going without him if you want. That's your
prerogative.
That's your prerogative. But you're gonna have to stay the night somewhere and regain your senses.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go and give you your XP so I don't forget. Good catch.
That was an awesome catch.
Already on a good spot there. So this is going to be a where's my We're going to make this, we're going to start it off at demanding.
Which is?
At step 3.
So that's a 9.
That's a 9.
Okay, with my 4 edge, automatically get it down a step for free.
For 2. You can make it a 2.
No, it was for free. Everything automatically is a step lower.
Yes. That's now cool. It's a step 2.
Yeah, okay, I thought you meant.
Yeah. No, right?
So it's a 6.
You got to beat a 6.
So I got to beat a 6.
What'd you get?
I got a 2.
Oh! Go ahead and make me a might roll.
I gotta check. Oh. This doesn't have anything to do with speed. Okay. Brute finesse is neat, by the way. Alright. What do I gotta beat?
you're going to beat the same thing. It's going to be a demanding roll, which is a step three. That's a nine. If you'd like to... Mm-hmm.
Four.
All right.
So we both got to take a minute.
Well, yeah, and that was a step three, so take three might off your pool momentarily as you take damage from throwing up. His throw up gets on you as you are the lightning and it interacts with things. You
damn it, Harold.
Lose control, and you guys end up in a tree.
I'm gonna hedge magic shit off of me.
And
probably him too.
I'm not gonna make you roll to say if you stick on a tree or anything like that, but this is just that fun moment where you ride the lightning, you get a good ways. You think you've gotten maybe halfway there. But
you stuck in the jungle in a tree.
You're trying to do your ride to lightning, it's just not working right now. You just
fuck you, Harold. Why did I let
it's
you
fine.
Do this?
You're gonna be fine. Just give it a second.
Oh god.
I just had to stop here. I needed some coffee. Just give me a second. I pull out the self brew thing and I just kind of recharge. No pun intended.
No puns intended.
Apologize, Gazers. We're having some technical difficulties. I don't like this fast travel bullshit. But sometimes, you know, to speed up the progress of the adventure, you just gotta do what you gotta do. Pierce Ringer out.
So what do you guys do?
I'm drinking my coffee.
Setting up camp for the night?
Yeah, we'll set up camp because I really need to rest and get my might back.
We're halfway there.
My stomach's doing, we're halfway there. Describe the scene for us now. Like where you said we're up in a tree.
We're up in a tree. Around you is it looks like thick forest. Mm-hmm. Very thick forest all around. Kind of roughly gauge on a map. You know that this forest probably spans miles and miles.
I want to.
Oh, and for the sake of the game moving forward, my charge ability, which charges my hand so next time I touch something they take damage, and also my ward ability, which gives me plus armor, I cast on myself every hour that it wears, and it's essentially free for me, so I'm always ward, I have it up.
Ward is always up.
So
from what I read,
ward,
it's always up.
Yeah, what is ward? Does it just doesn't look like anything? It's just something that's helpful for you, or do you have like a shield to you?
Well, the way I picture it, since I'm electric based, when I cast it, armor made of like electricity around me just for a second, and then goes away. But it's always there. We could role play in a way instead of having it being actual armor that increases my. Instead of it being physical armor, we can say that it heightens my reflexes a little bit, so that's why I take the less damage.
So for the textbook definition, you have a shield of energy around you at all times that helps deflect attacks. You gain plus one to armor. It's an enabler.
Very good.
So I don't have to cast it then.
No, you never. It's there it's at just, all okay. times. It's always there. I do kind of picture his ward as like this. Almost kind of like a blue, like occasionally you see like light. It looks like little mini lightning bolts. Almost like there's a storm raging around him, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, if you want to use it to heighten your speed, I guess instead of doing a plus one to armor, you can do.
I just think it's it's not much. It's just like it makes me like move out of the way a little quicker than I would normally.
Almost like phasing, but not.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect my speed in any other way.
Mm. Okay, so we're in the middle of a forest.
You're in the middle of the forest, and at this point it's midday, unless you guys want to just talk about what you've been doing all day.
Well, whatever rations we had, one of the things about hedge magic, I can't create food, but I can take existing food items and prepare them.
Okay.
So I will take whatever food that we brought and just...
As an experienced adventurer, I go around and kind of gather up some stuff and, build a quick impromptu fire and a place for us to kind of rest and lay down. I want to take some time because my stomach has been flip-flopping. Mm-hmm. I can only take so much of that. So I go around and you know, walk over to a few trees and grab some sticks and stuff, and then Harold's over here brewing his fucking coffee, and I build a pretty, you know, suitable camp, and then Harold, I'm going to go take a look around, see if there's just anything that that I can find around here. And I want
to... Okay, be careful.
Is there anything neat around me, Sir DM?
Foresty, jungly. Like, there's nothing necessarily special about it that you can sense. Unless you do some actual perception-type rolls to look deeper.
I do want to do that.
Okay, go for it. We're going to say that this is going to be a difficult task. You just got done throwing up. You're disoriented. You're not quite sure where you're at on the map.
So I want to use my assessment to knock that. That'll knock the... I think it'll knock it down. Hang on, let's clarify. I have sort of an innate sense of things around, sense of danger, sense of is there stuff around kind of thing.
Okay.
So we still want to keep it difficult?
We're going to say it's difficult, but if you have that, I'm going to say now it's demanding.
Demanding?
Yeah, we'll say it knocks it down a step. I don't know if there wasn't really worded
beat a six. For me.
So, yeah, demanding is actually a 3, so beat a 9.
Beat a 9, okay.
Unless people like, they make, yeah.
13.
13. So you're walking around, you're looking through, and you look over and you notice that, you wouldn't have seen it otherwise, but off in the distance, you see what looks like a structure covered in debris. You also notice that above this structure, eyeing you, it looks like it's hiding, but it hasn't noticed you noticing it yet. You see what looks like, I'm going to do a picture, and you describe it for everyone, if you don't mind.
interesting. So, this is a...
Take a day off of descriptions.
This is a glaive type that is...
Definitely looks like a hulking warrior type.
Yeah, big, muscular, red eyes, with snarling face, with sort of like bone armor all over its face and body. Exposed skin, but this bone armor is everywhere and spikes sticking out, and looks like he has like a large sword.
Large glowing sword.
Yes.
You can see the glowing now. It's actually what caught your eye to the whole part in particular, but it looks like he's intentionally trying to hide the glow. But hey. He's looking at you. Very still.
Hey, Harold.
Now, we're going to say that you were out looking for this.
I'm still at camp.
Harold's still at camp.
Okay.
How far away from you is it?
So Harold, so Pierce is now, sees this, and he's...
Harold's within yelling distance. It would take, say, an action if you guys were...
I don't want to yell.
Okay.
I want to use Machine Affinity.
Okay.
And I want to get Diego's attention.
Ooh.
To grab Harold and start pulling him. Like, because he can't talk, so he just kind of does, like, the cutesy, like, little... Diego. I need you to bring Harold to me now.
Beep, beep.
As quickly as you can.
The camera pans over to Diego, and he nods his head with a steely look. Puts on his little Diego hat. Does he have the trench coat still?
Oh, he's got the duster.
Duster. He tightens up his trench coat.
Okay.
There's a whole montage scene. He has a little tiny knife. He puts that in.
What's up, little buddy?
He points his little bear paw at you, and he points in the direction that Pierce was in. And he
beckons. What are you trying to say, Diego? Is Pierce stuck in a well?
He does some sign language. And he points his little paw to his little mouth. And then... He puts his paw up to your mouth. He, like, has to jump up on you to do it. and he's putting his paw to his mouth, to your mouth, and he just looks like, sighing, beep, bop, 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 bop.
Oh, so he jumps to follow up, you.
And he nods. And he starts marching along into the forest.
Yeah, I'll follow him.
All right.
At this point, I don't really think I'm just following my damn bear.
Gazer. Gazer comes over to me, kind of hovers.
By the way, is Diego an intelligent machine? Would you call him intelligent? I would.
Yeah, I would call him intelligent.
Okay, just for the record, his ability is you can speak telepathically with any intelligent machine within long range.
Okay. Sounds good. Now we know the exacts of it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I tried to make you roll.
So the Gazer? No, it's all right.
There's also three intelligence points.
To do it?
Yeah.
Oh, so in order to activate that, it would have cost you three intelligence points?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you spend those three intelligence points? Because we just did it.
I do, which it actually just cost me one.
Okay.
Because I have an edge of two.
Perfect. So make sure you use your skills, man.
Yeah, well, I have machine affinity, just off the record. I have machine affinity under special abilities, but there's... So machine affinity... And
it's like a skill you can use now.
It's a thing, but there's actually a skill listed under it. So I have Charm Machine and Coaxing Power.
So when you use either of those, we're going to say it costs you one.
They actually do cost... Coaxing Power costs two in intelligence, and Charm Machine costs
now
one.
Now, those are not automatic.
They're actions.
Coaxing Power is two, and Charm Machine is two. But you get them for free since you have an edge of two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't pay anything for those.
Those are the ones, but I thought that Machine Affinity was the free one.
Well,
it's under...
The Coaxing Power and Charm, those are your Tier 2 abilities.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways, you
tier
coaxed
Tier 2 and
him.
Tier 3.
You coaxed, I don't know. Maybe you didn't coax him. You just he's a friend of yours. He's an ally,
yeah.
So you don't need to do any kind of action. We are back after some... After learning the rules and then scrapping those rules and making our own house rules. And we will describe to the listeners those house rules when they come up. But for the most part, we're just going to keep going. The scene is Diego, the robot bear, is moving along, ushering Harold to the location of Pierce Ringer, who is currently standing still and being watched by... A large, creature who's seems to be made of bone and flesh.
No, knowing Harold, as soon as he sees Pierce, he's be like, "Did you find anything?"
If you peer off over to where the soldier's looking, or the soldier, it obviously looks like a soldier of some sort because it has a giant sword on it, but it is clearly trying to hide itself. And when it notices Harold coming in, what does Harold say?
Hey, Pierce, what'd you find?
Keep your voice down, Harold. Come over here.
Where's the coffee? What'd you find?
Look over there, atop of that structure. Do you see what I'm looking at? There's a figure. Looks like he's pretty well armored.
How well hidden is he?
He's pretty well hidden, but you're looking at...
Do I have to make a perception?
Really? Not yet, because what he's going to do is you see him touch a device on his sword... And he cloaks predator style. And he disappears.
Do I notice this? Or
you notice it.
Okay. Well, I saw
and
something.
Now you don't see him.
I saw something.
Yeah, now he's gone. Pierce uses his assessment, and I guess this would have to be some kind of roll to see how well I can do this. Mm. Uses the assessment to kind of see if he can see that cloak around, like something that would look off that he can kind of keep up with where this thing is going.
Okay, so you're looking for indentions, maybe rough, like bushes rustling, that kind of thing, like leaves shaking. And you're in a thick forest. It's a little dark where light is trying to escape through the tops of trees. It's hard for you to do this. And when he does this, you are looking at a difficult task.
By the way, while he's doing this, Diego, mm-hmm. I'm holding his little buzzer gun and charging it.
Okay. So it is a difficult task to try to find him. This is a step four, so difficulty of 12. Beat that. It's an intelligence roll. Either of you can try to make it to kind of find this guy cloaked.
I want to spend...
What's it?
Two effort.
Intelligence roll?
It's an intelligence roll to have a keen eye to find him.
If it's intelligence, can I take my edge on that?
So it's you can spend effort if you'd like to spend effort. Well, you already have it. It's already lowered for you by one if you wanted to spend one effort.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that I get the free...
You can use effort lower. Anytime.
Okay, so it's useful. So that's lowered for me free. That's was from a difficult to
that's a... That's from a difficult to a demanding. Demanding is a 9.
17.
And I'm going to spend 1 to lower mine down.
To a 9.
To a 9, which would cost me 1.
Okay.
So mark that.
All right. So you're tracking him. He's jumping from, and you can see with this roll too, you're going to see that looks like he was guarding some kind of complex. There's a complex about the size of, I don't know, just like a medium-sized complex. It's not super huge. It's hard to distinguish exact size of it, but there's a large bay door in the front. Mm-hmm. But there's leaves and all kinds of stuff covering him. Not only do you see him jumping down, still cloaked, but you can see him. You see two others, and they look like they are circling around you.
Okay.
You have about one more interaction of some sort before we're going to get into something. They look like they're rounding for some type of attack.
I'll mind read one of them. And see what they're protecting, what their intentions are. I know what their intentions are, but any more useful, pertinent information that we can't already obviously know what's about to happen. Yeah.
And this was one of those, almost like a house rule we kind of talked about before, where you can mind read surface thoughts. Getting anything further than surface thoughts, I'll make you roll for.
Okay.
But if you want to roll, you're going to beat, they're not completely smart or anything, and they're not that high level of a thing, so beat a 6.
Ha! That was a 2.
That was a 2.
So
a gentleman's 2.
A gentleman's 2.
That's to go deeper, though.
That was to go deeper. So you, no matter what, you can still read their surface thoughts.
Okay.
And their surface thoughts right now are circle the attackers. And you're hearing, really, you're hearing war, destruction, annihilate the bio, the bios, that kind of thing.
Harold, what are they thinking right now?
We're fucked. No, I don't say that.
Annihilate the humans.
They want to kill us. You just had to throw up.
I thought it was going to come to this.
They think they have the edge on you. You could do one thing. He did a thing. You can do one thing now. And then we're going to get into combat.
I want to, since I know that we're being circled and flanked right now.
Wait, I have a movement action, though, for my turn, right?
You can move.
Okay, I want to try to position, and as I'm saying this, I kind of do, to get to a position where they're not surrounding us.
Okay.
Like, if they're coming around us, I want to let them back up. So
they're all three in front of you. They're still of a wide berth around each other.
As much as I can, depending on how wide they are, they're
you can see now the other two were starting to get, like, you guys hadn't noticed the other two yet.
What are these?
You just
look
noticed
like
this
again?
One?
You have the card?
Pretty rough.
These guys are large-looking. They all have these giant swords, and these swords are different for each one of them. They just, but they're big, large. They look like big Final Fantasy, like swords.
That's cool.
They're holding them with both hands, and these swords, they seem like they have multiple functions, but they're also, if you peer, your loot sensors are tingling. They look like they're attached ciphers on these swords.
Oh, obviously, he pressed a button and he cloaked. Mm-hmm. I want that.
Harold, when you did that mind thingy that you do, did you notice that maybe they were understood how we speak and talk?
No clue.
Or was it grunts and...
I felt intention.
Yep. You couldn't actually hear them. Like, they're well, you don't know their language, but you understand their thoughts.
I can roll with my linguist skill
to pick it up. Could if you hadn't already done your stuff.
Yeah, it's an action.
But you didn't tell me they were speaking, though.
You were reading their thoughts.
Then I would have done that.
Like, no, I mean, your action was to read their thoughts. So that was the action. And you were
to take another action to see if you understand it?
I think so.
Okay, I figured it was an audio thing.
Simultaneous.
I'll take your lead on this if you feel like...
I think if he were to read thoughts, I think it should be assumed that... House rule, I guess. I think it should be assumed that he gets the opportunity to see if he understands the wording. If it comes, like, so for me, if I ask him, did you understand them?
Yeah. Maybe I was asking too much of that. Yeah, let's beat a, cause I think beat a six.
If you hear something, you should kind of know.
15.
All right. Yes. And we're going to say that you don't know what language this is, but you can decipher what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they are saying basically tactics, like soldier-type tactics, like flank the humans, all kill right. the humans, destroy the humans. That's gotcha. What they're saying.
I'll tell you that they're trying to flank us in case that if that's going to benefit them in any sort of like sneak attack type way. We are aware of it now.
Works.
Great, Harold.
And I can read the thoughts for 1 minute, so if they say anything else, let me know.
Okay.
All right. Harold, just follow my lead on this.
Just one person, so pick one of the random ones.
Harold, follow my lead on this.
I put a star next to him.
I'm going to try something. So just, I'm using the lies and trickery, and I'm going to, Harold, I'm going to try and convince him to leave us alone.
Okay, what do you want to say?
Hey, we're peaceful. We don't really mean to do anything. I'm Pierce Ringer. We're just doing a show. We're just trying to film some stuff here. And I would like to do an interview with you guys if you guys are okay with that. This is the camera. it's watching you guys. We see you cloaked. It's okay. You can come out. We're fine. I'm holding my hands up and waving. I'm like, it's okay. We're peaceful. We're cool. We're peaceful.
You see the guy that you were talking to? It looks like their leader. If you had to choose one, because you're talking to him.
Right.
And that's the way the DM plays it. He looks over. Now, and he says, in his voice, out to like, kill the humans. All humans must die.
He verbally says this?
Yes.
Okay.
You hear like, rah, 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 rah.
It's not working, Pierce. They're going to attack. They're going to kill us. Or attempt to.
Damn it.
How's your stomach feeling?
Slide back and ready my weapons.
Yeah, one of them, the leader also points at your gazer. And it's like, must be taken back to the mother.
And he wants your gazer.
Over my dead body.
Everybody roll a d20. 11. This is your spot in combat.
11.
13.
You two are going before them. So you go before Pierce. You're going to go before Harold.
All right.
So all right. You are you're not flanked or anything yet. You didn't move on your action. Harold was moving back. So this is now your action. You can do what you wish. But you have three big brooding... flesh, bony soldiers with glowing red eyes.
I'm going to take aim at the two that are trying to flank, with each one with one gun.
Okay.
And take a shot at each one.
Okay. Though we even though it's two weapons, it's only one target.
Oh, I can't target two things.
Well, okay, and here's what we can do. You can target two, then this isn't...
But it'll
and
it's up in the rolls. Difficulty.
Yeah. It's going to up the difficulty.
I'm good with that.
All right. You now have to beat a 9 to do this.
Beat a 9. Is that a speed?
This is a speed for you because you're using a speed weapon.
Wait, that's with this up a difficulty?
Mm-hmm. Not that. Not all that. All
right. I'm going to spend an effort.
Neat.
To drop that down.
Go for it.
That'll cost me 2 because I have an edge of 1. So now beat a 6. 1.
Oh no!
How much damage were you going to do to them?
It's 4 apiece for heavy shot. 4 a shot.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do because that is an epic fail.
Mm.
You were trying to shoot 2 of them. What they both do is they take their sword and they deflect each of those shots back to you. So that's 4 apiece, but you have an armor of what? 2?
2.
So take 2 off the top of 8.
Oh, and I'm skilled with defense.
So this is not a defense. Like, defense means that you can move out of the way.
Oh.
You're going to take this damage no matter what to your might.
Okay.
So, but take 2 off the top of that, so it's really 6 to your might. Pew, pew. You're,
That sucks!
What are these, are these bullets? Are these, like, lasers? Or, like, energy
charges?
No, they're
bullets. They're bullets. These are bullets.
So you get hit in the chest and in the leg.
And now I have no armor, though, right?
No, you have armor all the time.
Oh, okay.
You're fine. You always take 2 off the top as long as you're wearing armor. Unless something negates your armor.
Okay. Well, that sucks.
That's your go. Unless you like to move.
That didn't work out so well, Harold. Your turn.
The guys that deflect, those were not the leader.
No, he was shooting at one in the middle, which the leader's in the middle, like looking straight at you guys, basically making a beeline. He doesn't give a shit. He's just walking up to you, like all like broody.
Okay.
The other two were trying to be sneaky. He shot at the leader and
I shot at the two.
Oh, you shot the two? Never mind. He didn't try to shoot the leader. He shot the two that are coming around the sides.
I'm gonna with my hand make the shape of a gun.
Okay.
And I'm going to onslaught, but I'm going to aim for his face. Primarily around the eye area to maybe...
Okay, so what we can do is if you hit, we're going to up the difficulty, so it would be a step step 3, so it'd be a 9.
And with my tier 3, when I use S3 weapons, it automatically goes down a step as well.
So now it's still a tier 2.
So it's a 6.
So it's a 6. And if you do that, you can blind him. Makes everything he's going to do after this as a step.
That's exactly what I was going
another
step.
For. Yeah.
10.
All right. So
and it's 4 points of damage.
4 physical. Points of damage. He, like, and his mind, like, so this is Onslaught. So Onslaught's an intelligence attack, correct?
Only if I go to mental.
Oh, okay. So this was all physical.
Yeah.
So this is electricity, and it, like, and it fries him, and he starts, like, he gets down on one knee, and you fried his eyes, and they start, and they're still red, but... There's like electricity coming out of him and he can't see.
Okay. And Diego is going to take a shot at him as well.
Okay. He's going to have to take a... Since Diego's an artifact, we're not going to worry about our house rule with Diego. So he just takes a... Yeah. 6.
Okay.
Beat a 6.
7.
7.
And
Diego's gun is like 2 points of damage.
Plus I charged it.
So it's 3 points?
Yeah.
That's with the main guy?
Same guy, yeah.
So Diego walks up. Tell me how Diego kills the leader.
Well, after I take the shot, Diego's kind of... Wow.
Diego kills the leader.
Describe how cool this looks from Diego's point of view.
All right. So Harold has just taken and shot his hand... I'm going to call it a handgun, basically.
The hand cannon?
Yeah.
Finger
gun? Blinded this guy. Diego, who was standing behind me, saunters out... Reaches his little bare hand into his duster, pulls out a little buzzer gun that shoots little tiny buzz saws, and it's crackling with electricity. Shoots it right between the eyes. A little tiny buzz saw lands between the eyes of this leader, and he falls over dead.
There's a little piece of buzzsaw sticking out of the guy's forehead.
But yep.
It hurt him just bad enough that he falls forward.
And then I...
he's still sparking with electricity.
Do I have enough action to say something?
You can say something if you like. That's like a free action.
Okay. I will... and this is directed... I'll say in their language. Leave now.
You hear back a response. I am leader now. All humans will die.
Fair enough.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. But welcome to the after party. We got some snacks and some alcohol. Well, okay, I got some alcohol, and maybe you have some snacks. I don't have any snacks around me, but I'm going to find some. So first, I would like to say that you definitely don't need to listen to Season 1, otherwise known as the Nightmare Switch, in order to enjoy or listen to Season 2. This is considered more of a sequel, and it takes place, obviously, 6 months later. So you don't really need to know the full story of Season 1 to just really dive into Season 2. But if you have been listening since Season 1, thank you. You're a doll. Secondly, you'll notice a new theme song. This will happen with every season so long as I'm feeling creative, and I hope you like it. After that, let's talk about the module. This is basically you're listening to a modified version of The Vortex, written, I believe, by Monte Cook himself, but it's definitely released by Monte Cook Games. With only two players, I've made it a point to do some things differently, and I've given them a little leeway on a few events. But you may have noticed that some of their more mundane tasks are kind of higher level roles, and that's because I think failures or epic wins are a lot more fun than not. So that's why you see some of those roles a little higher than maybe you think they should be. That's because I like to see my players fail, really. Finally, Loot and Dagger will always be trying to do things to improve its entertainment value and helping you out and also getting cheap laughs. Basically, you're my favorite audience. Don't tell any other audience, but you're my favorite. And if we don't know what we're doing that makes you laugh, then we can't help you laugh. So by all means, make sure you're commenting, make sure you're viewing our Facebook page, and make sure you're reaching out to us. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and that's all the social media I can stomach. So come on out and support local tabletop or whatever. Anyways, have a good one. I love you. Okay, I don't love you, but I like you a lot. Goodbye, audience.